Most of all, above everything else, we need to let the Lord have His way when we meet. And a lot of times people don't understand that, because I've went to meetings where I've been invited and perhaps spend an evening and never give a message. But strange as it may seem, I'm really not into messages. I've had such a tremendous burden on my heart, and thank God I've been able to release some of that over the last year and a half. Well, actually, it's been a little over a year that I've been talking somewhat about coming out of darkness. And tonight I feel something of a prophetic anointing. And I just would say this, that you have the total freedom and liberty to judge whatever is said. And if you hear something that's absolutely contrary to what you believe, then please have the liberty to not receive it. But I would ask you this, love me. It's like we were sharing last night. Let's allow us, each other, to be what we are.
Amen.
I need freedom to be able to express whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. I'm speaking this for all of us. I need the liberty and the freedom to express what's on my heart, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And we all need that liberty to be able to share with one another without fear of rejection. Because, see, you have the capability of not receiving what I say without the spirit of rejection. And I don't have to feel rejection if you don't receive what I say. I believe we're right in the very throes of God doing a mighty work upon the earth. It's already started, a mighty work. And it's like I was sharing last night, that you can literally now go the length and the breadth of this country and hold meetings every night and never go into church. That's how big this grass movement is. That's outside of the organized church system. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not some churches out there that are going along with this flow, because I'm sure there are. But it's going to be very, very, very difficult in these days for us to discern what is truth and error. So the most important thing that we can have, the very most important thing that we can do, is to say, Lord, turn my heart. Turn my heart. We need, above everything else, not to be right in doctrine so much, not to be right in teaching so much, but to be right in heart. And if you will, and you know, David said it many years ago, my heart is in the hand of the Lord, and He turns it whithersoever He will. It is the Lord that turns your heart. And if you find yourself today not satisfied with the normal, traditional ways that we've had church and been in church, if you find yourself unsatisfied with things the way they are right now, then you are most blessed. If there is a hunger in your heart, if you have a desire for more of God, we are most blessed. But there's going to come such a change and such an awakening among the people of God, and it's going to be so drastically different than what it's been in the past. And we have to, again, we really need to seek God that we would be most merciful and most loving to those who do not understand what's happening. If you can imagine for a moment what it would have been like if you lived, say, 1,000 years ago and you were a Christian, at that time, if you were with the status quo of religion, you would have been a Catholic probably. And your whole life, if you were sincere and if you were a devout Catholic, your whole life would be regulated by that church system. You would not have been able to have a Bible in your hands to read it and interpret it for yourself. Because only the priests had the ability to comprehend and understand and tell you what to do. And you wouldn't have opposed that. I mean, it would have just been a natural thing for you to believe, for instance, as the Catholics still teach today, that the Pope is God's vicar on the earth. That the Pope, he is God's mouthpiece. So if you were raised that way, and many people are, if you were raised that way and you believe that, you don't have a problem with that. You really don't. And you don't have a problem with communism if you're raised in communism. You don't have a problem with Baptist theology if you were raised a Baptist. But imagine in those days, if all you knew was the church as it was then, and here comes someone opposing that which you believed with all of your heart. How difficult would it be to accept someone who was saying that God wanted you to go a little bit further? God was revealing some new truth that he hadn't revealed in the past. How many of us, if we had been so indoctrinated into that religious system, could hear something different and receive it? We couldn't. Not without a lot of grace. That's why, again, one of the most important things you can be, if you're hearing some deeper truth, if you're coming into more of an experiential walk with God, how we need to be merciful to those who don't understand what we're saying and do not see what we see. If we can be merciful, their chances of receiving and being able to hear are 100-fold. But if we become critical, we become judgmental, there is no way that we can help anybody by criticizing them. Because you see, God, what God is after is the people, and what God is against is that which keeps them in bondage. You see, today, if you're a Roman priest, or if you're a Lutheran priest, it doesn't matter what you are, if you're leading people into error, God is not against you, he's against that which is causing you to walk in error. God is not against people, yet you can say, a lot of people, it's hard to distinguish, because when you speak against the system, they say, well, the people is the system. Well, in a sense, that's true. But it's not the people, it's the system, it's the jail. It's the prison that has them in lock that's the problem, it's not the people. And were it not for the grace of God, we would be in just as much darkness today as anybody else. The only reason that we have a heart for God is because he is drawing us. He is drawing a people unto himself. There really isn't a lot needs to be said in these days in regard to teachers. We've been taught to death. We know so much. Jesus said to his disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And one of the biggest problems in the system of religion, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Buddhism, no matter what it is, people do not realize that the Spirit of truth will guide them into all truth. There is no way another man can lead you into truth. He can speak truth, but he can't lead you into truth. Well, by example maybe, but not by what is said. You see, if I can teach you mercy, but yet if I'm not a merciful person, it's better to be a merciful person than it is to teach mercy. It's better to be one who loves rather than one who teaches people to love. Yet we have been sitting in churches for 2,000 years being taught everything we need to know to do without very little effect. Because our teacher is to be the Holy Spirit. And that's why today you see such a huge movement beginning to take place outside of organized religion, because people are waking up. I mentioned the verse last night that in the last days, it's said in Daniel that many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. They shall arise. Now, I know we can interpret that as meaning a bodily resurrection at the last day, but I want to tell you something. The spiritual interpretation, and you know this, the spiritual interpretation of the word goes much deeper than the literal translation or interpretation. And the word tells us over and over and over again, awake, awake. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, awake, you who are sleeping. Arise from the dead, and my Christ shall shine upon you, from within you. You see, you don't need teaching, you need to awake. There's a race of people on the earth today who are waking up. Where are we going from here?
On our knees into the throne room.
Hallelujah. See, all of this is going on. Not speaking of just what's going on here, but what's going on all over the earth is God getting our attention. But once He gets our attention, where are we going from here? Because there's only one place you can go and walk fully into the counsel and the will of God. There's only one direction and one place you can go. Guess where it is? Did you ever hear the cross? Now, I'm not talking about the old religious dying to the self thing. I'm talking about God is waking us up. And in that awakening, we're beginning to sense the anointing that's within. And many of us act many different ways when the anointing hits. But again, I have to ask you, what are you going to do with it? Where are you going with it? God is making us aware of His power and ability in our life. But only for one thing. So that we can learn how to channel that. So we can learn how to experientially walk in the awareness of His presence to take us into death. But all of us that have a hunger for God, all of us have that desire to be conformed into His image. Yet we can't do it. But as we become more and more aware, we become more and more awake to the reality of the indwelling anointing of God, the more that the anointing of God begins to permeate and saturate us with His essence and His being, the easier it will be to go into death. There is not a one of us that really want to die to the flesh. Not really. You do, but you don't. You don't. Because if you really wanted to, it'd probably be a lot easier. It's like Paul says, I refer a lot to Romans chapter 7, because Paul says that in me I delight to do the will of God. There's something in us that absolutely thrills when God speaks. But then Paul also said, but I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells a no good thing. So the key is in not trying to take that old dead thing and make it godly, but the real key to death is life. See, a lot of times in Christian circles, they get it backwards. They think that you have to die to live. That's true, but you also have to live to die. I'll put it this way. If you never experience resurrection life, you will never go into death. Because it's the ascendancy of His life in us arising that pushes out the death. And in these times and in these days we live in, I think you're going to hear less and less and less teaching, but you're going to see what's coming into being is what we've heard this term in the past, but we're going to become body conscious. not so much individual consciousness, but body consciousness. Paul said it this way. He said, put off the old man and put on the new. Put off the old manner of living and put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and holiness of reality. We're going to really begin to see crystal clear that we are not individual entities, but we all have the same life, the same nature, the same character, and we are going to begin then to grow up into Him in all things. But I'm telling you, you cannot do that in the church system. It's impossible. You can experience God in the church system. You can do a lot. But what happens when you begin to really experience God and you begin to walk in the Spirit of God, that thing will spit you out of its mouth. You don't have to worry about coming out. You really don't. More and more, we're going to have meetings just like this. And I'm not saying, you know, you might never have no, but you know who needs to do the teaching? You do. Every one of you has a teacher within them. Every one of you have learned experiences in life. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 3 months, you have experienced something of God. And you're a teacher in respect to what you have learned while you have been touching God. David said it this way, I think it's Psalm 45, he said, my heart is bubbling over a good matter. Therefore, I speak concerning those things that I have made touching the king. Now, let me tell you something. There's not very many people in this room. But if each and every one of you every day learn how to touch the king, learn how to experience the glory of his presence, learn how to release the anointing of his abiding presence, when you come together, you don't need a teacher. You are the teacher. That's what I mean by coming body conscious. This is where the church is going. Now, we've had some of these concepts in the church for years about, you know, the function of the body. But religion won't let that happen. Why? If you're paying me a salary and I'm gaining my living off of you, do you think I want to put you in a position where you don't need me anymore? I may want to launch out into ministry. And it takes finances to do that. Tell you, religion won't let the church function. They can't. Let me tell you something. The minute that the saints of the living God begin to function as the body, religion disappears. That's why I say, you don't have to take a group of people and teach them to come out of the system and try to get them out of it. You're just going to bring it right with you. You can come out of that, but when you come out of it, you've got it. But you could stay right there and begin to function as the living saints of God, and you will expel religion from your midst. You don't have to come out of religion. You got to get the religion out of you. Amen. But I don't want to go into places and destroy churches. That's foolish. But I do want them to realize, and I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid to tell the leaders, you're either going to change, you're either going to learn how to set your people free, or you're going to lose them anyway. I'm not going to take them from you. We want people to come alive. And people that are alive still need some guidance. We'll always have those who are further advanced in the Christian life than we are, and we'll always need to help those who, you know what I mean? There will always be a place in the church for you to function, whatever that capacity of functioning is. If I'm an apostle, I should never have to come to you and say, I'm an apostle. If I'm a prophet, I should never have to come to you and say, I'm a prophet. It should be evident to you. And if it isn't, me telling you I'm a prophet isn't going to do any good. Let me tell you something, folks. As we begin to mature even a little bit in the things of God, you will find that at times you will be a prophet. At times you will be an apostle. You can be anything. You, every one of you, individually have the same anointing, the same presence, the same God, and we can be anything at any given moment to anyone who needs it.
That's right.
Now, that's not to put down those who truly are apostles and prophets in the body. But if you're a prophet, you don't need to tell me that. I need to see it. It's again, it's like saying, I'm going to teach you about love without being a loving person. I'm going to learn the cookbook and teach you cooking without getting in the kitchen and cooking. Everyone, without exception, has a responsibility in their daily life to touch God. And you cannot, and you know this is true, you guys especially know this is true, you cannot in your daily life experience God and get excited about God without talking about it. You know that. Now, if that's true, and it is, that if each and every one of you can experience God in their daily life, isn't your experience of God in your daily life just as genuine and just as authentic as anyone else's? We've had verses in the New Testament for years that says when you all come together, what? Each one has something? Yet we go to church Sunday after Sunday, year after year, month after month, day after day, and sit in a pew and get entertained. And I'll tell you what, most of us don't even yet today have the concept. We don't really know how ugly that thing is out there. We really don't, because it looks so beautiful. God is about to begin to tear down, and it's already begun, but it's going to be intensified, to tear down that ungodly system. And if you're not careful, I'll tell you, we need an intimate relationship with God. You know, God says something very interesting in the Old Testament. He says, I build and I tear down. Now, here's the thing. Why would God build something and then tear it down? I'll tell you, you got to see this, because God is beginning to tear down that which in most eyes is not going to be understood as judgment. I can name some things right now out there that's beginning to be judged that are absolutely, in Christians' eyes, marvelous and wonderful. And I have not the shadow of a doubt that God built it up. But I can also guarantee you that it's God tearing it down and not the devil. And even if it is, it's the devil by God's design. How could the devil tear down that which God builds? How could he? If he can do it without God's permission and will, then we're in trouble, because we have two gods that we have to deal with here. We've got two opposing forces here, then one of them is going to win. Why does God tear down that which he builds? You know, I heard something on Christian television a few weeks ago. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I'm going to share it with you. They were raising money for the Christian television network. And it was said all during the program that evening that you all want to get in your requests as soon as possible. You all want to make the best pledges you can, because at the end of this evening, we are going to have this mighty man of God, which I won't name, come and pray for you that you might be healed, that you might be restored, that you might be set free. So get your pledges in. Do you know what that is? Do you have any idea what that is? It's the same thing the Catholics did many, many years ago in selling, marketing the anointing of God. It's a disgrace, but it looks so good. And I'm sure you'll hear testimony of people who have sent in big pledges and had this man pray, and they probably would receive some healing over it. I'll tell you what, it looks so good. Now, I wouldn't judge that man, nor I wouldn't judge the men involved with that, but I'll tell you what, that horrible, corrupt system has to come down. Those people need to be set free from the bondage of merchandising the kingdom of God. And I can guarantee you that thing is coming down. And it looks so good. It's preaching the gospel all over the world. You got to have, above everything else in these days, eyes that see and ears that hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Do you know that according to Revelation 17, if we don't come out of that thing, and again, I'm not talking about leaving a church. I'm talking about getting out of that horrible mindset that according to Revelation 17, that if we don't come out of that, we're going to be judged right along with it and receive the same plague that that thing gets. Why? Because we have that mindset. Oh God, open our eyes. God says, I build it and I tear it down. That's going to happen in your own life. Why is that? God totally tore me down here, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. Totally stripped me of everything. And I knew what I had was of Him. I knew I walked in the anointing of God. And He took it all away. Why? Absolutely. And not only that, He said, hey, if you bear fruit, guess what?
I'm going to prune you.
I'm going to prune you. Now listen, if you don't understand though, if you don't understand God, what are you going to do when you get pruned? You're going to fight the devil. You're going to fight that which God is doing in your life. And you're not going to submit. We got to wake up. The devil is a tool to perfect the saints. How could we have a renegade? How could we have somebody in rebellion and opposition to God? How could we do that and have them tear down that which God builds? If we have that, then we have two gods and we're in trouble. Nobody is stronger than God. Nobody operates outside of the will of God. Nobody. How could we? Unless we have a religious mindset. I tell you, there's a lot of judgment coming. A lot of judgment. You're going to get it. I'm going to get it. But if we think it's the devil, if we believe that the devil is coming to steal from us that which God gave us, how can that be? What kind of a God do we have? I mean, we're all in trouble. If we can't trust Him explicitly, come out of the darkness. Don't believe in the power of the devil, but believe in the delivering power of God. Jesus said, He comes. But He can't touch me. Why? Because He has nothing in me. What we need is not to fight the devil. We need the fire of God to purify us. And He will use the devil to do that. But see, there's people all over the earth waking up to these things. We're waking up. But see, we're going to lose much of this individuality that we have. And we're going to be able to come together in the unity that we've so longed for and heard about. You're going to begin to see in the coming days, if you will learn to receive one another as you are, that is the most critical key.
Just as I am.
Just as you are. You see, if you don't like what she's doing, and you know what? I got news for you. You don't have to like what she's doing. But you have to receive her. You have to love her. You have no choice if you really want to enter into the kingdom, because where the kingdom of God is, there is no strife. There is no ambition.
Joy in the Holy Ghost.
There is joy in the Holy Ghost. About the only thing I pray for anymore, and I'm even seeing where that probably is unnecessary, but we need His presence. That's a toughie. You're going to die. Do you think you wouldn't die if you began to walk in that area of taking no thought? How do we do this? How do we practically do this? In the very core of your being is the essence of the Spirit of God. And every time an anxious thought begins to arise, you can take authority over it. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In the presence of God is everything that we need. In His presence. And I'll tell you what, folks, sad as it is, religious people very seldom experience the presence of God. Because to enter His presence, you know, self just falls at His feet in His presence. all ambition falls at his feet in his presence. And there's beginning to become such an awareness of his presence in his people. Makes them react crazy sometimes. But they'll get over it.
No, I will not.
But see, the day is coming when there will not be, and this is swiftly coming to pass, where there will not be an individual stand up, but the body will function. And again, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I am not saying we don't need leaders, that we don't need those, you know, in the church who have the authority or who are maybe more spiritually. I'm not saying we don't need guides, we don't need leaders. I'm just saying we need to let the body function. Because you don't even know. You don't sometimes even know the substance of God you have until you begin to share with someone else. You have no idea sometimes. I was sharing here in a meeting last month in Portland, and I literally spoke revelation that I had never heard, never thought of, never seen. I mean, it's come out of me. Can you imagine? Yes, I'm sure you can. But it's one of the most marvelous, transcending experiences you can have, to literally be taught and to be, I mean, it's indescribable, the joy. Indescribable joy to have God speak something through you that you had no idea that you even knew. Well, you didn't. This is for the body. It's not for a few select people. And if you will continue to meet together and forget about becoming anything except meeting together to share, spending time in your daily life touching the King, and you'll be like David. I speak of those things that I have made touching the King. And there will be such a body consciousness form within you. But see, this again, you're going to die to have this. There's enough people right here tonight that could literally corporately walk into the kingdom of God and begin to manifest His glory on the earth. It doesn't take that many. But you're going to die to do it. Why? Because there's going to be some things in this lady that I can't stand if I get to know her well enough. You know, that's to the extreme. But listen, we all have things that rub one another wrong. That's why we have to go for the gold. Henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh. What does that mean? If it doesn't mean don't look at my outward condition, don't look at my failures, don't look at my harshness, don't look at that. Please look at the gold. And we need, I told this sister, I've never said that before, but where'd she go? There she is. I told her last night, she needs to pray for God to open her eyes to see her as He does. Because once God opens your eyes to see you as He does, you will never criticize yourself again. Nor will you criticize your brother. Because then you will be able to walk in unconditional love.
I'll take you back. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.
True identity. I'm real.